Thank you for joining us, everybody. You're tuned in to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. This is John DeMaria.
And Desi Dez. Each episode here at the Jam Frequency Radio Show, the artists will take us to a new frequency of musical energy, the full spectrum, from up-and-coming artists as well as living legends.
We get to know their stories on how they create music and what makes them unique as artists.
The Jam Frequency Radio Show.
Where words and music kaleidoscope. This week, we continue here on the Jam Frequency Radio Show, our June Lake Jam Fest 7 artist series. To catch all of the previous episodes, go to jamfrequencyradio.com. A lot of great music, including some world premieres, which we really like, and a lot of fun, insightful conversation. Today's featured artist is Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. Born on the California highways, Hunter and the Dirty Jacks are a working man's band who are never afraid to take risks on stage with their sound. Their southern rock-infused sound, reminiscent of the 1970s, was found and fine-tuned while traveling up and down the West Coast. The Jacks blend an infectious, sonic alchemy of rock, blues, country, folk, and psychedelic improvisational jamming. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the pleasure of speaking with John Sambita, the guitarist for Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. How are you today, John?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
You know what? It's really great to catch up. I know at the pandemic, we haven't been able to see you play. I did get to watch you play at the June Lake Jam Fest virtual experience, the Safe at Home edition last year, and that was really great. We're going to be talking a lot about the June Lake Jam Fest coming up, and we're really excited here in Mammoth Lakes and the June Lake and the Eastern Sierra in general to see you guys play. But what I'd like to ask you, I guess just cutting right to the chase, what has changed in the band since the last year?
I guess the biggest thing is Carmelo, our other guitar player, moved to Texas a couple weeks ago. But he will be coming back for certain special events, and we're actually, he's working on getting us to Texas as well. He moved to Austin, so that's different. We wish him well, of course. It was a family decision. We do have, for this event specifically, my good friend that I grew up playing guitar with named Russell Bourne out of Oakland. He's going to be playing. Him and I, like I said, grew up in college ages playing guitar together and developing basically a two guitar weave. So for me, it'll be kind of old hat. But he's filled in before in the past a couple of times here and there with the band. So the other guys are very familiar with him. We're going to have a little bit of maybe a committee approach for a little while. But like I said, Carmelo will be coming back for some special events. We have some shows in August in Humboldt, which is where the scene of the stage, if you will, did our first out-of-town shows many years ago. We're doing a private event, private party event for some old-school Hunter the Dirty Jacks fans and friends. Then we're doing another show up there, too. So Carmelo's actually coming back for that. But we're stoked about the Jam Fest. We have our new album that will be coming out as well, where we're going to start putting songs out this fall. We've been holding back on that with the pandemic. We were working on it, of course, and it was close to release. When the pandemic hit, we just decided to kind of press pause and see how this whole thing went, because obviously the climate of everything changed. We can't tour behind it. So we just took our time and put a little bit more love into the mixing and the mastering, and we're going to bring some of those songs out very soon. You may be part of that, John.
Well, you know what? I love the word world premiere, and we have been fortunate to do that with some of your songs in the past. I guess let's talk about that. So can our listeners expect to hear this new material before the Jam Fest?
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen.
Yes, I'm so excited. All right, so give us a hint. Tease us a little bit. What's the title of the song that you're going to play?
The first single is definitely going to be Ain't Gonna Waste My Time, which interestingly and appropriately, I co-wrote with Russ.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
Do you still live near him, or did you write it when you were kids? When did you write the song?
We wrote it when he lived in Los Angeles, but he lives in Oakland now. And we still do play and do some recording stuff here and there when we have time. But, you know, now we're going to be playing in this band again for certain shows. So I'm excited about all that. I think it's like a full circle moment, and it's pretty cool, actually.
Absolutely. Well, the evolution of music and the ebb and flow of, you know, alignment with different musicians is always going to be part of the fun. And you guys certainly have a vibe to you that allows for a lot of freedom for guitar players and really any of the instruments. For the listeners who don't know you, how do you describe Hunter and the Dirty Jacks music?
To me, I'd say the vision is like a 70s kind of style rock band in the vein of like a Free or Faces or Bad Company type of band, Stones, of course. You know, we have a two guitar attack, bass drum rhythm section. We like to jam and stretch out some songs. And then we have Hunters as the front man. He's kind of like the larger than life, energetic front man, getting people going, getting the crowd going. And he plays harmonica and does a couple of things. He can play some guitar, you know, but like acoustic third guitar and stuff. So yeah, I'd say that's kind of the vision, like a Faces band, which, nice. By the way, funny enough, I saw an article last night that I guess Rod Stewart and Ron Wood and Kenny Jones are starting to write songs again together.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
They're awesome. So very, very cool.
I hope they come up with something good. I think that'd be fun. This is John Combito from Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. You're listening to Jam Frequency Radio, and this is Highway 1 from our album Chase the Moonlight.
Better in the love of stores. just begun.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. That was Highway 1, Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. We're talking to John Sambida, the guitarist for Hunter and the Dirty Jacks, and also songwriter, collaborator. Well, we're talking about that. How does Hunter and the Dirty Jacks write songs? Is it all you? Is it a collaboration? How does it work for the band?
It's a collaboration. We share, ultimately, we end up kind of like the Led Zeppelin model. We all share in what happened. There were a couple songs that predated the band. Hunter had a couple. Salt Whiskey was one of them, actually, that he brought in and had on acoustic guitar. Then we arranged it and put our parts on it and, you know, glued it all together. Ain't Gonna Waste My Time, as I mentioned before, I co-wrote with Russ, and will be a new song that will be coming out later this year. And Highway 1, actually, was co-wrote with our friend Mark Sepulveda. Him and I kind of came up with the germ of the guitar parts. We were actually in Hunter's cabin in Big Bear, and then he wrote the words. Then the rest of the band got involved and created their parts, and Carmelo created his part. Some songs, like Leave Tomorrow, which we'll be playing, Carmelo really brought the whole thing in, and then we did our thing and arranged it. But he had the lyrics and stuff, and then we took the jam, and at the end there's a long jam that ends the album, and we put that together and arranged it with the song. Alexandria, which is another song that I think you'll be playing. Aaron brought that one in. Him and Hunter started working on it a little bit. And sometimes I'll bring in a song idea and I'll have lyrics, but then Hunter will be like, hey, could I take a shot at, you know, working on this a little bit with you? You know, da, da, da. And absolutely. He'll take his hand at it. He'll get his pen out, you know, and sometimes I just come up with music. Sometimes another guy comes up with some music. Sometimes they come up with lyrics too. Sometimes Hunter's got lyrics and somebody's got the music. It's all different things happen. And like I said, sometimes we even have a friend jumping in on the action.
Right.
I enjoy that aspect of it, that everybody's open to different approaches. That's one of the fun, rewarding, long-lasting, really cool parts about the band. Everybody shares real well and collaborates.
That's actually a wonderful thing. I think that's why you guys will stay around for a while, because it's fun. Yeah, really, it just comes down to we enjoy each other's company, we respect each other's opinions, and you're able to navigate through some of the things that normally would happen with a band. It's just really a perspective of we just like what we're doing. We like that we're able to do this.
Not everybody's open to their part being created by somebody else, potentially. So Hunter's been really cool about when somebody like Carmelo might come in with words for Leave Tomorrow, and he's like, these are great. I think he even, you know, he probably was like, I'm going to go back and kind of look at them, and he came back and was like, it's really good. Like, it's already done. We're there, and so that's cool. And, you know, somebody might come in with a guitar part, and I learned that guitar part, and I'm like, sure, I'll play it. It's done. It's like Alexandria. Aaron had that guitar part, and I'm like, that's a great guitar part. Well, just learn that. And so it's really cool that everybody plays nice that way.
Yes. I think that's a really important thing, just in life as a general way to approach it, and that is, let's just respect each other. So kudos to you guys. But we're really excited to have you here for the June Lake Jam Fest. Last year's virtual experience was different, but it was still really awesome. You guys played great. The energy was perfect. Coming up to this June Lake Jam Fest, is there something in particular that you're really looking forward to?
I think that everybody is looking forward to the highlight of the year to begin with, being in a beautiful area with really good accommodations, and the lineup's always really good, and there's a lot of friends there, and so it's always a great weekend anyway, anytime you can come up to the Eastern Sierras and play. But the charity aspect for putting music in schools and teaching children of the area music is always something that is a big positive to feel good about. But I think everybody's just happy to get together and play a fun event together with their friends in this COVID, hopefully soon post-COVID world. No newsflash that the whole music scene got completely shaken up for 15 months and counting so far. And when this all hit, we were coming up to June Lake. We were going to play the T-Bar, actually, in March. We had a gig there, and Sacramento and Lake Arrowhead, and we had 7 shows canceled within like a week or two when everything started getting locked down. And of course, April and May and beyond got all wiped out. And that's no story that's different for us than it is for anybody else. Everybody's in the same boat. So I think that just getting rolling again, we've stayed pretty low profile for a while. Obviously, some bands have come back and have been playing. We kind of just made the decision to just wait it out a little bit. And then we had the Humboldt shows in August pop up and June Lake Jam Fest. So it was kind of like, that feels natural to start them in mid to late summer, if you will, and start getting our feet wet back that way. So that's what we're doing. And then we have the album coming soon thereafter.
Fantastic. Is there a working title for the album?
Yeah, Back on Shaky Ground.
Back on Shaky Ground. Nice.
The easiest title we've ever had to make.
Very cool. During the, I don't know, I don't like to glorify the COVID year by calling it COVID, but I'm going to say that. So during the COVID situation, let's just call it that, did you feel a creative surge either as an individual or on the backside? Did you learn a new instrument? Was there something personally that changed for you during that time? What was your mindset like, I guess is what I'd like to ask.
I dug deep with trying to re-educate myself musically and develop as a songwriter, really deep dive into a lot of different kinds of music. I scoured Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and all of them for basically every good music documentary and concert that I could possibly find, and watched them all and really learned. I learned a lot of songwriting styles and got really into some new music for me. One guy that I've really learned a lot from is Jason Isbell, and then the Drive-By Truckers, the country funk records I really like a lot of 70s kind of twangy stuff. Bob Dylan, I kind of did a sidebar deep dive on again, and Springsteen and some guys like that, and of course, you know, Neil Young, big time, like just scoured everything.
Yes.
As a upgraded subscription to Neil Young Archives, so I've been going through every concert he has and documentary and stuff. So I've really worked hard with doing that. And you know, we have a blues friend that I've worked on some of his songs with recording. I have another friend who's got like a country music southern root style. I've been collaborating with him. So yeah, I definitely had my guitar in my hands the whole time.
That's beautiful. What are you going to do with downtime? You know, continue to master your craft. That's really great. Now, specifically about the songwriting, and I'm just curious about this, and maybe it'll inspire somebody else. You were saying you were working on your songwriting. Were you being more proactive at actually writing, or were you analyzing other songs and seeing how they were structured? What specifically about songwriting did you work on to get better at the craft?
Everything. I would pick up my guitar and just work on stuff. Mm-hmm. And see what would come to me. I would get inspired by a documentary or something and try to write something in that style. Mm-hmm. I would listen to an album and, you know, what's Jason Isbell doing? Oh, he's tuned down a full step. Oh, that's interesting. You know, there's a lot of A minor offshoot things going on. You know, how do they do turnarounds? How do they do choruses? Are there sub hooks? Figuring out and some ways what some of the formulas are, but at the same time, there is no formula. If the song's right, it's right. It's got the right feel. So really just all aspects of it. I'm personally endlessly fascinated with the entire process of music and being in bands and collaborating with people. For some people, this is totally fine, but you know, they're all about playing live. And I certainly love to play live, and I played live a lot, especially over the last 8 to 10 years. But I love all of it. I like the writing. I like even rehearsal, certainly going on tour, but I love being in the recording studio just as much. So yeah, I've spent my time refining all the non-live music aspects, I suppose, since what was the obvious choice that you had to do. You didn't have a choice. Yeah. You had to do something else. I try to find the silver lining, or like what the path is when something happens that throws you off. And obviously COVID threw all this off. So I just took it as like a sign to work on the other stuff.
Very good, John. Thank you for that insight into how to continue to expand your craft. I really love the idea of watching a video or a documentary on a band and then just saying, I'm going to write in that style and get the isms without copying it and looking at the chords. I mean, you probably did some of that too. I like that vibe. I'm going to try to write something in that vibe and see if it goes to a new place. So kudos to you for that approach.
Thank you. This is John Tabita with Hunter and the Dirty Jacks, and you're listening to Jam Frequency Radio. This is Leave Tomorrow and Chase the Moonlight.
Blue skies for
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with John Sambita of Hunter and the Dirty Jacks, the guitarist. Some great conversation about songwriting, what the band went through over the course of last year, the recording process, and the enjoyment of live versus recording versus writing and enjoying it all. But John, what we really want to do is ask you some fun questions. Okay, do you sing in the shower? And if you do, what songs are they?
Not really, but sometimes in the car, only because I've been trying to work on my harmonies. So I'll try to find something that's got like a major third or a fourth or fifth, and I'll try to figure out that part.
Are you singing along to Bohemian Rhapsody, or are you singing along to The Stones, or what? What would be your choice?
It's more songs probably in the styles that I play, so
yeah,
certainly Stones, Black Crowes, Mother Hips, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. Another fun question. You guys are a very fun band and encourage people to have a really great time. But specifically, what's the most trouble you've ever gotten into?
In the band?
You know what? I'm going to leave that up to you. You can talk about the band. There's probably some fun stories there. Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. I'd say the most trouble we were in was when we were driving back from a Northwest trip, and we were leaving Oregon, and we were coming out of Ashland, and we were around Mount Ashland, and the bus broke down in the middle of the night, and it was cold. I was driving it, actually. The alternator went out, as it turns out. You know what? It was the night before the 2016 presidential election, or two nights before. Actually, I can remember that. And we basically crash landed, so to speak. We didn't actually crash, but like pulled off in like a random mountain road, and we're pretty stranded with bad reception. And we ended up getting a tow into town, and we spent like all day. Brian's come through in the clutch with us with some bus pinches. He was able to get the alternator replaced. We went to like a Pep Boys or something in Yreka. Not Eureka, Yreka. We got the bus further down the road, but it ended up like shorting out again outside of the Bay Area. And then we did actually get it, find a mechanic that was able to replace it, and we got home. But that was a little hairy.
It's interesting how you interpreted the question. When I said, what kind of trouble did you get in? I was thinking maybe, you know, you got an actual trouble. Like, and you're just saying, well, the trouble was we just broke down and we had to deal with that, and we mastered it and whatnot. So it's an interesting perspective, you know. You didn't cause any riots or didn't throw bottles at people while you were playing or something. Maybe vice versa.
One time we were playing a biker rally and a gang fight broke out. That was also hairy for a minute, but it ended up being okay. It was really crowded. It was like an after party kind of thing. The show had to stop. Slightly Altamont-like, to be honest. And we were hoping it didn't get that bad, and it didn't. It was tense for a few minutes there.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, it's one of those things, the Rolling Stones, I don't think they encourage that kind of behavior. It just, and neither does your music, really. And the vibe is always chill and cool, and let's have a good old time. So
I think it was what was going on around town and stuff that night. This is Salt Whiskey from the first album from Hunter and the Dirty Jacks, Single Barrel. Let me do that again.
Sure, go ahead.
That's the name of the album.
Yep.
This is Salt Whiskey from the first Hunter and the Dirty Jacks album, Single Barrel, and you are listening to Jam Frequency Radio. This is John Sambita from Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. Enjoy.
Soaring fields, she gathers grave rye. She needs no one to crucify. A burning sage, reason she enslaves. And I won't be back for days. Evil moonshine was bad thoughts in my mind. To whom will I become resigned? Old scratch eggs, his damn soul. At the crossroads I go to the few. Where she comes from, why she's here, what she builds with the laughs she burns down with the tears. I cannot quit her, I can't put her down. And I'm getting bored. death dash, wasting 7 years in the salt of mystic children's tears. Stilled in water, it sad song she sings, how it went through beggars and it went through kings. She won't show you your future, only where you will fail. How you drink a bill red, boy, you'll just end up pale. I cannot quit her, I can't put her down. You're not getting above the water, I can't seem to drown. So bring me trouble so sweet, I'll stagger up to my feet just to drink her salt whiskey again. So bring me trouble so sweet, I'll stagger up to my feet just to drink her salt whiskey again. Ground is dry, sun on my side, holster heavy as my pride. This and that, a good man had died. We and she, my only guy. And I can't stop while my heart beats. Good people, all I ask, Lord, what I pray, is for my love to stop feeling like pain. She won't show you your future, only where you will fail. How you dream of being red, but you'll just end up pale. I cannot quit her, I can't put her down. Not getting above the water, can't seem to drown. So bring my troubles so sweet, I stagger up to my feet just to drink her salt whiskey again. So bring my troubles so sweet, I stagger up to my feet just to drink her salt whiskey again.
We have the distinct pleasure of speaking with John Sambida, the guitarist from Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. Welcome back. We've got to share some of their great music. We're looking forward to the album being released pretty soon, but we're going to be able to world premiere. Hopefully, John, you'll allow us to do that here on the Jam Frequency Radio Show. We're looking forward to you at the June Lake Jam Fest. I know that you guys are really excited. It is called the Family Reunion, and you are certainly part of the family, and it's going to be great to see all of you guys in the band. What was the best advice you've ever been given?
Keep it simple. In terms of music, cut the fat, find the simplest solution that makes sense and sounds good. Don't overthink it.
Beautiful. What would you be doing right now if it wasn't for your music career?
That's a good question. I did have aspirations when I was young of being a marine biologist, but obviously that didn't happen. So maybe I would do that.
Nice. Now, is it because you like to be in the water, or is it the science part of it, or maybe a combination?
I like to see animals and sharks and that kind of stuff. And I like fishing, actually, to this day. I've always liked being on the water and things like that.
Excellent. If there is one message you would give to your fans, what would that be?
That we appreciate the support throughout the years. We appreciate their patience through COVID. It hasn't been easy on anybody, us or them. I'm talking to them, not just as fans of our music, but fans of the genre in general. We are pleased to feel that best album to date is still to come. They'll be hearing it very soon. So hopefully it's worth the wait for everybody. We're proud of it.
definitely. And I know you guys had finished recording it in like 2019, right?
Yeah, well, I'll just say it. We recorded it in 2019. The late Neil Cassell produced it. An absolute pleasure. We all had a blast. We documented the whole thing. And unfortunately, Neil passed in late 2019, which shook all of us and the music scene, of course. That was part of the reason we also pushed pause on the whole thing, because at that time we were just like, we can't put this out right now. Like, we're just shell-shocked and it just wouldn't be right. It doesn't feel right. And then we started to pick up the pieces and continue to work on preparing to release it. And then COVID hit and we're like, well, the world is just telling us to hold on to this thing for the time being. I think it's just not the right time. So we feel like the right time's coming and we're proud of it. And I know he was proud of it, and he never produced a rock band. He was very talented. And from our vantage point, we're very proud of it. We feel it's our best work. But if there's one other thing that I want people to really know, it's that Neil has an incredible talent to be a really, really great producer. And it's a shame that we're not going to see more of that. I think people will see that we're lucky enough where we get to see another side of what his talent could bring to the world. And humbly, I look forward to sharing that.
Yes. Back on Shaky Ground is the title of your upcoming record that Neil Cassell has produced. And what a, you know, obviously, you know, when we talk about a subject of somebody of such importance, going somewhere else for whatever those reasons might be or beyond our scope. We respect a great deal of just our time with certain people on this planet that help us elevate our game. And it sounds like Neil was that for you. I can hear the passion and the inspiration. And I know we've talked personally off the air about Neil's contribution and the things that he would say to you guys to help you elevate your game. Maybe you can share one of those stories. What was it about Neil, or what was his approach as a producer to help motivate you guys that was really special?
He's a very good people person. He knew how to handle people individually and as a group and do it in a positive way without making anybody feel intimidated or uncomfortable or anything. I mean, obviously, when he walked into the room for the first time in like a pre-production studio, you know, we're like, whoa, it's Neil, you know, like this is getting real now. Like, we're going to be playing for him. But he just was so cool and so chill about it and encouraging. And the thing with guys like him, and there's others over the years, I'll give a tip of the hat to Joey Delgado as well, who sat in with us during the live stream last year for June Lake Jam Fest. Those guys have such a warm and simple way of just cutting through the mustard for you. You know, like, this song's really close. We just need a good bridge. Or, you're doing good. He had a term for me. You're like me. Like, you love, like, the Stones. You're like a Keith Richards guy, whatever. He's like, throw a few elbows in the song. He had, like, funny terminology and stuff. And he did that with everybody. It's always very encouraging. Like, Brian had percussion ideas. He's like, try them all. Record them all. That's what I say. Record everything. One story, probably one of my favorites, was there's a song called Yellow Paper Doll, which is a cool A minor kind of swanky song with a cool chorus, and there's a really good arranged solo section, and he really wanted Carmelo to come up with like a cool Simple Man and Comfortably Numb were used as examples to think about, like a really great solo that told a story, fit into like a certain specific arrangement for the album. And so Carmelo's working on it, and he's coming up with cool stuff. We're in the studio and he's working on it. He's getting close, and there's take after take. And actually, we ordered Thai food to be delivered for dinner. And I went outside because I didn't want the guy to like ring the doorbell or something and disturb a take. And I get the Thai food and I hear this enormous roar from inside. And when I walk in the front door, Neil's running down the hall, like, yes, you did it, yes. Like, it's like Notre Dame, like, Notre Dame is burning. Like, this is incredible. Like, you just destroyed everything. This is the best solo. It's totally incredible. It's amazing. Absolutely spectacular. So, like, he made you feel like you won the Super Bowl, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great guy. What a great moment, too. I mean, I'm sure it would have been fun, too, to have seen that performed, but having that experience and the one that you're sharing.
Camera.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I'll have to go look. Pretty sure.
What was the name of the song that you're talking about with Carmelo?
It's called Bird, Paper Doll.
Oh,
like a kind of like a ballad, but like a rockin' ballad, like a simple band kind of song, kind of, or something.
Right. Excellent. I absolutely can't wait. So if we're fortunate enough, if you guys will share that with us for our show, can slip that into the mix for one of the future episodes, that would be really, really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
John, it has been a great pleasure speaking with you. Always so, I don't know, just have a great spirit about how you look at things. And just, you know, appreciating the whole, every part of the process for being in a band, I think is a great thing. Maybe I'll ask you, was that something that you had to learn to appreciate everything? Or has it been part of your life to really just kind of own all of the elements within something and find the good?
I mean, I guess it's probably always been there to some extent. But the more you play, I think you just appreciate the time that you have to play together. And then especially now, this COVID era, I think gave everybody a little bit of a chance to reflect. I think you appreciate what you've done, and then still there's more that you can do too. And how can you get better? The whole thing is just a never ending expedition.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you, John. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share?
I think that's it. I hope everybody gets their tickets and comes to the Jam Fest. I think it'll be another really fun weekend in the mountains with great music and good company.
Absolutely. You can get your tickets at JuneLakeJamFest.org, and that's happening September 10th through 12th. And Hunter and the Dirty Jacks is going to be there tearing it up. We have John Sembita on the line with us. John, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thanks, John.
Cool conversation with John Sembita of Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. Let's conclude our program this week by saying thank you to you. We appreciate you tuning in here to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. We'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions. Check out past shows. Let us know how we're doing. Go to jamfrequencyradio.com. Let's conclude this episode of the June Lake Jam Fest Artist Series with another song from Hunter and the Dirty Jacks. This is from their 2015 Mixed Company and Midnight Hokum album. This is Alexandria.
All right, one, two, one, two.
In the distance, turning home from sea, a river by the docks there, she could never run from me. Societies and lovers, we've all been once or twice, in the fears and love and paper, that's just our price. And no one ever lost anything like you. Fire and regret, what we did in the crew, they never know what I lost in you. And the facts defeat 1,000, killed 10,000,008, and who could stop Caesar? Sharing our patient's fate. Can't be with Demetrius, the only thing for Greece. And better kept his daddy in your back door and told him he had your peace. But no one ever lost anything like you. Fire and regret, what we did in the crew, they never know what I lost in you. lost in you. Burn my intention to ashes, push the builders to the ground. All intention relapses, the year lost will never be refined.
Another great episode of the Jam Frequency Radio Show.
Thank you to the amazing artists that joined us this week, and we look forward to where next episode's Jam Frequency will take us.
See you next time for another episode of the Jam Frequency Radio Show,
where words and music kaleidoscope.